minute. Crossfade.
The Daily Talk Show.
A conversation sometimes worth recording with Josh Jensen and Tommy Jacket.
It's the Daily Talk Show, episode 157.
I love that. I felt it's like I read your mind as soon as you started because you were working out, fuck, what episode's this?
Yeah, and I was even wondering, I'm like, am I doing this right? Like, am I doing it in the right order? Am I saying the thing that I normally say?
Are you actually questioning whether you're awake or not? Because it's 5:30 in the morning for you, isn't
it? Yeah, it's early. Yeah, but no, I think it might... It's not that early, actually. It's like 6:30. No, but the thing is, I think I'm... You know, I don't want to jinx myself, but this fucking aircon or something, you can hear it in my voice. You know, like after yesterday's show, we were talking and I was a little bit sort of coughy and I was like, I ended up leaving. I'm like, I think I said, I've got to go vomit.
Yeah, did you?
Like I just coughed up heaps. Like I didn't cough up heaps. That sounds gross. I just went and had a shower and was coughing. But there's something in this fucking hotel room. Bree said she thinks it's dusty.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Mate, if you got to clean those air cons out, the chance of them coming in, it depends on what star hotel room you're staying in. So you're in Turkey right now. What's the what's the star rating of the hotel you're in?
I think it's a 4 to a 5, maybe. It's, as I said yesterday's show, we go pretty... Like, I like to book somewhere that I sort of know, so it's just easy for the first few days. So, we're staying at the Radisson at the moment.
They're all over the joint.
Yeah. Yeah, and so it's nice and easy. Bree's very, like, good at details and stuff. So, yeah. When we came in, she... she was like, I don't know if this is the exact room. So then I ended up calling and being like, hey, is this the room? And they said, yeah. So, like, it's that's one thing Bree is good at. I don't know if we're if I get to annoy the if it starts to annoy the shit out of the people, but it's good to ask questions.
As in, you went into a room that you didn't know if it was yours because it was fancy or like it was better than you thought?
Nah, it was probably like it was a weird one because it wasn't like any extra for us to go like the business style room, which got you like business lounge access, means that you can just get like food and stuff during the day.
Yeah.
In saying that, I don't want that to sort of be our fallback because there's so much good food out and about. So I don't want to be like stuck in a lounge having like little fucking... shit. Oh, actually, it was really delicious. I had like a heap of Turkish delight. But,
the classic, doesn't want to be seen to be a tourist, eats Turkish delight in Turkey.
100%.
That's awesome. 100%. Was it any better than the Turkish delight in Melbourne?
Yeah, absolutely. I haven't had that much Turkish delight. So it was good.
When in
I feel
Turkey.
Like you're going to have to take the reins for this fucking show because I can't believe every time I start talking in here.
Yeah.
It's like I'm taking a big breath of fucking dust.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you got a bit of asthma. I'll give you a little Bodhi update. Your
Please do.
Your son. Well, he was basically your son for a day while I supervised. Anyway, so
it never goes away.
Well, when you get back, he will legitimately be talking. He's now stringing sentences together. When I say sentences, stringing words that form a small part of a sentence. He's he now like, what did he say? The woman at daycare reckons that he said, "Mummy, Daddy are working," something like that. And so he's it's amazing to see how quickly the words are coming out. But
is he picking what words? Do you think?
It's very visual. So what he sees, he just yells out. So soon as he wakes up, pick him out of the cot, and he's pretty much hardly got his eyes open. What's that? Pointing at stuff, looks in the ground. What's that? That's his favourite. What's that? What's that?
What's that? Yeah. Well, kids are known for like asking lots of questions.
It's what
do you think? Like
that's you.
when he starts when he starts asking difficult questions, like about the bees and the fucking babies or whatever the fuck it is, bees and the birds. What's your approach going to be? You going to go super graphic? You going to go like what's your tactic?
Mate, I'm not going to just pull up an incognito browser and just go, let's get to work. No, Josh. No.
What is the actual approach? You going to say like, look, we had sex and that's how you happened.
Yeah. See, this is the thing. As a parent, what I'm learning is you take what is on offer at the time, and that's not for quite some time, at least.
Are you talking about the sex still? What are we talking about?
I thought we were still in the incognito browser. No. You take the conversation, like, what is at hand? The challenge that is present, that's the one that you focus on. And you're asking me to focus on a problem down the track, which I can't even explain. I think we're pretty open. Like, as in, we're pretty front foot with this kind of stuff. And I like to think that I'm a cool, progressive parent in some respects. So I'll be happy to have conversation with him if it's, who was telling me? Someone was telling me recently that, her daughter's about maybe grade 4 or 5, and there was an assembly or whatever you call it, it was like a parent get together at the school in the hall, and there was going to be a thing where they talked about what the kids would be learning in sex ed. So it wasn't even, it was like the pre-class for the parents to get a gauge of what was going to be explored. And the woman that was telling me, she was saying that her husband didn't want to go, and because it would be all the mothers there. And I was like, fuck that! I would be there front and center. Just, all right, what's up? Yeah. What do you got? Is that all? I don't know. Like, I feel like I'm excited to sort of understand what these people, like school teachers and stuff, are going to be teaching at that time. Because I know for me, and what I remember, I did a lot of self-exploring on the internet myself. But it was
how old's this? What does age this cover? This is all like primary school type of thing.
Yeah, that was primary school. So I'm sure it'd be kind of very much entry level. So it's a challenge that's ahead of me, but I don't even go there just yet. We've still got Bodhi needing to start talking, then he'll probably start swearing, and then we'll have to deal with that. But he's getting to that real toddler age, like you can even, you know, terrible twos. He's 18 months, a little bit older now.
He's only heading towards the so you're still heading towards. Going to experience like worse. He's bad now, no. But it's going to get bad.
You get a waft of this of the situation. And like last night, he was just losing it while having, like, everything he did, you put a little bit of food in his mouth, he thought it was too hot, spat it out, and everything was just hard. And then so you just gave it to him and he fed himself, and then he was happy. It's like, so there's no rhyme or reason. Some nights he's just really tired, others he's not. But the update, the story, this is another daycare situation.
Oh, no.
Is
he bitten someone else or something? Or was he bit? I can't remember. Did he bite someone or did someone bite him?
No, he got bitten. He choked out the kid, though, put him to sleep. No, he didn't. he got bitten the other week as well. Side note, big little chomp marks. Turned out that he was playing with his kid's blocks. The kid didn't want to share. What a little prick.
Could you imagine if someone tried to bite you, like, as an adult?
Yeah.
Like, it's just such a nasty fucking thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
To bite someone.
Bite or spit on someone is disgusting as an adult.
Yeah.
So, anyway, get to daycare. Bodhi is just, like, cruising around. He sees me, runs towards me, just gets into my arms, and I notice that he wasn't in what he was wearing when he went to daycare. So you got to take just a paint the picture, you need to take him a little bag, and in this bag he has a change of clothes. And he was in that change of clothes, and there's a guy that works there, and lovely, lovely dude. He said, "Oh, yeah, Bodie had a bit of a mishap." I said, "What happened?" I'm always curious. And he said, I was playing with one of the other kids, and then Bodie came up to me and was holding on to my arm. And I looked down at my arm, and I could feel something, like he, as well as his hand. And I looked down, and he'd put his hand down into his nappy, pulled out some poo, and had gone up and wiped it on this guy's arm. I picked up Bodie.
Has he ever done that for you?
I've seen him stick his hand into his nappy, and once, which was it was bad. But it I pick him up. And it's a classic joke. I always do it. I picked him up and I said, "Shouldn't do that, Bodie." And then I whispered in his ear, "Well done, good work, good work." And and then I look over. No, no.
Did you lift up his mullet? You were saying just to get a real clear view of his ear.
His mullet's actually in fine form, longer than it's ever been. But that's...
Have you got an update on when he's getting a haircut?
Oh, no. I think it's even... His mullet's even better now. Like, I'm liking his mullet more and more. And he gets... People just constantly... A lot of people say, cut it. But I say, it's my son. I'll do what I want. It's looking good. Plus, I'm growing my hair, so we'll weather the storm together until we can both look like Patrick Swayze.
What is the actual, like, what? Where does your mind go when it comes to the mullet? Like, what is the pushback on the haircut?
Well, no, we like his hair. We want to give him, like, a little, I just want him to have, like, a little, just some, just free-flowing hair.
What's the difference between a mullet and just long hair?
Well, his hair will grow at some point. It will grow into each other. He was born with a classic George Costanza look, so no hair on the top, around the sides, and then it just slowly grew on the top, and kept growing the back end. So
it's probably like me with my neck beard. Like, I always grow my neck beard first. So that's like his mullet. My neck beard is like his mullet in that regard.
Well, a kid comes out and you don't know what's going to happen with their hair situation. It could be shitloads of hair, it could be none or some. Bodie got a kind of weird combination. He was very bald on top. I've seen some kids come out with like a full head of hair. It's the most bizarre thing. Kids are weird.
Mate, talking about kids being weird, you should have seen the when we were at the airport. I've never seen a kid scream as much. Luckily, he wasn't on our flight, but it was one of those things where normally when someone's crying or whatever, like a kid's crying, you sort of have empathy for the parent and you're all like, oh, yeah, I hope that. People were like rolling their eyes. This kid was just fucking, like, he sounded like an animal. He was making a sound that I'd like never heard before, and he was just like, just fucking like throwing himself. Yeah. And he was like, this is just before he was about to board the flight.
Oh, no.
And I could just, like, if you're the parent in that situation, like, do you go empathetic for the kid and just be like, oh no, come on, calm down or whatever? Or like, I feel like if that was my kid, I would need to create some sort of scene to show everyone, like, tokenistically, that I'm like as pissed off as they are, because I was almost getting a little bit annoyed that the lady wasn't fucking caring enough that her kid was losing his mind.
There is millions of strategies to apply. Actually, there's either ignore it, try and solve it, or just keep going. Like, Amy's been taking Bodie home on the tram every now and then from work, and she said he just lost it the other day on a packed peak hour tram in Melbourne, and just he was just flopping around, and someone said, "Oh, you can sit down here," and then you pull out the secret weapon, the mobile phone, and try and get him to watch, but sometimes it just doesn't work. I experienced that tantrum, just nothing was helping, at Southland Shopping Centre, and it was what literally is one of those moments where you go, I've judged parents in this moment, and it's there's not much you can do, like I mean, you just it's embarrassing, but it's also like I think you can't do much about it. I think it doesn't feel as bad as you think it would when you're looking at a parent with a kid. Because it's
you've become immune to their annoyance.
Oh yeah,
so you've got a higher tolerance rate for the screaming.
Yeah,
because it probably doesn't sound new.
Yeah, 100%. It's like at the start. I mean, for a parent, the start. I think it's like they're crying. It's like you can hear it from a mile away. But then there's just been so much of it, and you've ignored so much of it. Because a lot of the time, it's not them actually in pain. It's just something going on. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, it was interesting. I was listening to... I was on the plane here. I was listening to Osher Ginsberg, who's got a new book out. I think it's We'll Be Back After the Break or After the Break or something. And he was being interviewed by Mayor Freeman... And I was like falling asleep during the thing, but I was waking up at points. And one of the bits that I heard was him talking about this sort of like his first like panic attack when he was 3 years old.
Mm.
And I feel like it's super interesting because I feel like when I was three, like are you really... I find it fascinating to be able to know when you're 3 years old those sort of experiences because I feel like I would have had so many... times it could have been considered a panic attack where it's like if you're willing to like lose your mind in a, like a shopping center as an adult that would be deemed like a real big fucking panic attack or something.
True.
Do you think that like I mean what's your vibe on that? Do you think like do you think there's an age where it sort of becomes from a tantrum that any kid will have to something that's more serious?
Yeah. Well, I couldn't tell you. I think it's unique for everybody. But you like so Bodhi doesn't cry when we leave him at daycare. Never has.
Yeah.
There's this kid that I've been seeing every morning recently that's just in hysterics. Just it's probably separation anxiety. It's like where does that come from? Mm. If one kid doesn't have it and then the other kid does. I don't think it's got nothing to do with their parenting style because the kid's like so fresh. Like as individuals, like it's so eye-opening having a kid and taking them to daycare when you see the little personalities that are there at 18 months. Like it is outrageous. Like it is cemented who you are from a very early age. Just your
it's a massive roll of the dice. I think that's probably the thing to consider with all this shit. Is it's like if you've got a great kid, you probably just got fucking lucky.
Yeah. And you know the meaning a kid like I look at Bodhi because he's pretty out there and he's got a lot of my tendencies in terms of just like he's a bit wild. And I'm definitely a bit
but do you think the mullet makes him wild? Like, do you think that you're at... No, but seriously, do you think that maybe if, like, because of, like, how you dress him, how you, like, fucking keep his hair... I was going to say how you cut his hair, but you haven't cut his hair. Yeah, that's the thing. But do you think that, like, if you put him in little tuxedos and cut his hair short, like Brie and I would have our kid, do you think that he would be more into computers and less, like, outdoorsy or sort of, like yeah.
I don't think so. He never... Like, when you leave him at daycare and when you pick him up, he's constantly just doing stuff. He's walking around, like, sweeping or he's walking around with, like, this... little stick that has this duck that you can it just has these little legs on it and rolls and he's just he's constantly burning around and he's just got that energy in him and it's just he's got a bit of, he's got chutzpah and then there's these other little kids that are just a little bit meek and just lovely and just a bit quiet but just Bodhi is a little leader. It's crazy, like he demands attention from in the room, not like yelling but kids just flock to him. It's bizarre. And I hope it's, you know, it just needs to be harnessed. Oh, I've got to close the loop. And my mum even said, oh, we'll close the loop. I think she said, I've got to talk to you about something from one of the podcasts you've been talking that you said, something you said. And so I've got a shout out.
Is this like close the loop, or is this your mum wanting corrections when you fuck things up? Or is this an actual close the loop?
No, I think it's a close the loop. So
yeah, great.
Mick Hall, who we had on, we talked about ADHD, ADD, and it was probably, I think it was pretty in vogue to judge kids and say that they had ADHD or ADD if they were just had a bit of personality back in the day. And so I think I said something around the teachers used to say that I had ADD. And it's something similar for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, my mum would always threaten that we're going to go to the doctors and get me medicated.
Oh, that's
right. And I reckon,
right.
I was thinking about it, if I've got a headache or something, I won't take Panadol or anything. Like, I rarely take medication. And it drives Bree crazy sometimes. I'm like, oh, no, just drink some water. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's from the negativity that came from taking medication for anything. So it's interesting. So your mum heard that episode.
Yeah, and she said, oh, I've been meaning to tell you, we got you tested, which I can't even remember getting tested. She probably told me it was a dentist appointment. Next minute, getting tested for ADD. Turns out, I never had it. So
really,
stick it up your ass, teachers.
You're just an asshole of a kid. Nothing to blame.
Yeah, yeah.
That actually reminds me of getting tests as a kid. I would. Mum was always complaining that I was like fucking couldn't hear her, right? When she would like ask me to do stuff, or like I'd be on the couch watching TV. I said, I can't hear you. So we went to a hearing test and I had like perfect hearing. And the person doing the ear test said, yeah, he's just ignoring you.
Get stuffed. Because you're very self-aware. You knew on the way to the hearing test. Did you know what was going on?
No, I think, I don't know. I think that actually I couldn't hear mum, but I think I was just ignoring it. Like I even can do that with Brie too, where it's like if I'm doing something, if I'm like reading something or watching something, I can't do more than one thing. Like it's not that I am just being disrespectful or anything like that. It's literally like if I try and do more than one thing, none of the things are going to happen. And so I think maybe it was a bit of that. But it was funny to think that I, we went to the doctors and stuff and there was literally nothing wrong with my ears.
That's a classic. So here's a test that they don't do but everyone self-diagnoses themselves. And that's people who say, oh, I'm not a morning person. And so, because I, what are you?
I think I'm I'm an 8 hours of sleep person.
Yeah.
And as long as I've had that, I can do stuff. So if I go to bed and I'm counting the hours on my fingers, I'm like I'm only getting 6 hours. I straight away panic because I'm like I'm going to wake up. I'm not going to feel good. Whereas if I get 8 hours, 7.5 is okay too, but I'll wake up. The reason, like, if you think about it, and this, like, when I was growing up, I couldn't wake up in the morning. Like, we would leave for school at 7. Actually, not 7, 8. We'd leave school at fucking 8, and I would be at, like, 10 to 8, still in bed, and mum screaming, Josh, get up now! That type of deal.
Can't hear you.
And, yeah, I was like, can't hear you, mum. And good gag. And but it was because I would go to bed. Like when I was like 16, 17, I would stay up until like 2 in the morning, like editing and talking. Like even I would edit and talk to mates at the same time on the phone. It was just, I just did not prioritize sleep at all.
Well, I think there's a few things when you're 16 and your nuts are dropping. There's a lot of testosterone flowing through your system and you're quite hormonal. Yeah. So it's a gripe I've always
Hashtag
had.
#squeegee.
Yeah. It's exploration. It's a conversation Amy and I have a lot. We battle it out in the mornings because I basically spring out of bed and I'm pretty awake. I just got to do what I know I've got to do. It's the morning. I got to get to work.
Yeah.
And Amy's always been of the thinking of school of thought of I'm not a morning person and I struggle getting up. And it's one of those things. But then my thought around it is if she's got a flight that we need to catch and it's in the morning, there seems to be no problem. So it's like, is it really a morning thing? Or it's like, I always thought it's probably bullshit.
Yeah, I think it's probably the, I think it does come down to when you go to bed. I think that the reality of people who get up early is they go to bed early as well. And so I reckon that most people who say that they're not a morning person aren't having 8 hours. Like if you were to have 8 hours of sleep, my feeling is that as long as I have 8 hours of sleep, I'll be able to wake up and I'll be fine.
Mm.
What time do you guys normally go to bed?
We don't go to bed that late. 10 o'clock, sometimes 10:30. Yeah. Like not even. I mean, it's when you have a kid, it's pretty early. I mean, when Amy was single, she used to go to bed pretty late, but I think you just. Yeah. You've probably fallen in a trap of going to bed late and then associating mornings with this pain of getting up because you're tired. And then, I mean,
it's probably a mindset. Like, it probably is a mindset thing. I think one thing that I've become better at is empathetic with not everyone's me type of thing. And I even know that, like, I was speaking to a friend the other day who they said, oh, I stayed up until 4 a.m. I just couldn't go to sleep. And I straight away said, oh, one thing that helps me is having a cold shower before I go to bed. And then as I said that, I rolled it into, but I don't have insomnia. So I'm like, so it might not help. Like, so I completely understand that that might not help at all.
Yeah.
I think that that's probably a slight tweak in the way that I view things, which is like, oh, like I could say, oh, all you need is 8 hours of sleep, or oh, you just need to change your mindset to be like, for it to be a positive thing or create like positive habits. But I don't know if it's as easy as that.
Yeah, well, we haven't really thrown it out to people listening that are in a field of expertise. I'd love to know if a doctor is listening that you know, has spent a bit more time at university than us, which is going to university. So if you've been, even if you started a doctor's course, I was about to say certificate. And you know, if you know anything about, like,
if you got a morning Cert 3 in medicine, let us know.
Fuck,
I believe Cert 3 is as high as it goes.
Well, mate, I've got a Cert 3 and a Cert 4, so it's
I think that's like masters in TAFE language, isn't it?
not even. If anyone knows about the morning, if it's a legitimate thing, like morning person, is it a legitimate thing? Yeah. Are you one or are you not?
One thing that I just was thinking about too, the on that Osher Ginsberg interview, have you seen his men's health photos?
He's ripped.
Yeah. And what I thought was really interesting is I was listening to a podcast with him and Mia Friedman was on. She normally gives me the shits, but I actually enjoyed this episode. What turned me off was I listened to this Will Anderson episode.
Yeah.
And she used the first 5 minutes without Will being there describing how they used to have crushes on each other. It's just like really weird. Like, oh, yeah, you know, Will used to have a crush on me and, you know, I used to sort of have a crush on him. And so it was just like, fuck it, like, what a weird way to start an interview with someone.
Very weird.
I find it interesting the podcasts that contextualize at the beginning where they have an interview and then they use the first 10 minutes to explain the interview. I feel like sometimes, especially if it becomes a bit of a heated conversation, I don't think it's necessarily fair for the interviewee, because you essentially, like, you're getting the last say. You're able to, like, get the whole audience on your page and giving, hey, this was my point of view when I was asking these questions, and then letting on. But it, in saying that, Mia was grilling Osher about the cover, because he was talking about how when he was working, I think, on The Bachelor, he had this situation where it was basically, I think, set up by some paps or someone where they wanted, they needed him to take his shirt off for the show or something to get into some scuba gear, and there were paps there waiting to get photos of him without his top on when he had sort of weight issues, which happened to be the weight issues from the medication he was taking from you know, sort of mental illness. But she did bring up an interesting point around, okay, like, you know, why do you want to do the cover type of thing? He's like, you know, I want it to be, you know, a positive mental health story about how, like, through exercise and all that sort of thing, I was able to do this. But then you hear his description in, like, the last 48 hours of him getting ready for that photo, and it's like, you stop drinking water, you fucking get dehydrated, all that sort of thing. I just don't know how I feel about it, because it's sort of, it feels like a massive contradiction, which is, like, in one way he's trying to say be happy who you are with who you are, and you know, but then at the same time, I think it's great to, like, celebrate your achievements, but I don't know about that last 2 days of fucking getting dehydrated and doing all of that hacking shit to try and get lean as fuck for the cover.
Yeah, it is a bit of hell. It's not, that's not health. I mean,
yeah,
most people that are either competing or doing those things are not in a healthy state at the moment that they're taking that photo. Bodybuilders, I don't know how healthy it is for the amount of food that they eat during training. I mean, they're just optimizing the result of what they're putting
in
their body.
They're optimizing an aesthetic as well, right? They're optimizing, like, okay, this looks good, but, like, yeah, so I thought that was interesting, but it was just on my mind where I'm like, yeah, actually, it was a little bit like, fuck you to the situation, in the sense of, like, yeah, I don't necessarily need to look like that. And I think that there's probably, I think that, yeah, I don't know. I was just a little bit like, the, it seems a bit disingenuous to sort of say that it's all for this specific thing, whilst at the same time also projecting into the world these sort of negative body sort of perspectives.
Yeah, well, I've told you, I, like, as soon as I have done, not competitions, but, you know, challenges or focused seriously on what I'm eating, diet, you know, I become more vain. It's like a result of this input. I start looking in the mirror more, start trying to look at my abs, and I don't like it. It doesn't feel good for me. Like, I don't feel like it's a healthy mindset for me. And when I mean, the other result is when I eat shit food, and I'm like, so I feel a similar way, but in the opposite direction, if that makes sense. And so there has to be a middle ground, which is absolutely hard, because it's, I mean, humans are always sort of having these extremes that make them feel something, you know, like it's almost like the middle ground doesn't make you feel enough, and it's not like, you know, like, we like a bit of pain in some respects, because it means that we're sort of on this path to getting to the other side or something like that. And so maybe the middle ground, where you're just like, yeah, this is good. I don't know. It's such a weird thing, because it's all in the head.
I think it's just promoting. I think that the thing is that maybe what it is, without just purely looking at the cover, and I think that when it is a cover, like, that's all, you've got to be able to look at it on its own and see what the message is, rather than just, I think that what his point was that he was sort of, it was a way into the conversation. So it was sort of Trojan horsing the issue, where it's like, oh, look, I've got these abs, and then, oh, look, mental health. But I still think that maybe it sets off this expectation that to you know that you need that. I think that it's like there's a little bit of danger to that sort of thing, because I was even like, I know that I was even like slightly triggered with like, oh yeah, maybe I should do that. Like, oh yeah, that would be cool. And then it's like, I don't, if you think about the obsessive nature that's required to get to that point, even if it's over a short period of time, versus just like, it'd be interesting to see what health actually looks like. Like, maybe health would look like that if you were there, like, from the beginning. But I just feel like going from fat to that in a short period of time isn't necessarily that, you know, it was 6 months or whatever. But I just, yeah, I don't know. Anyway, I was thinking about that.
Well, I think we need to get you on the front of Men's Health when you get back.
Fucking oath.
No, I think exactly. I think we should do it. Like, the one thing about doing those challenges that might not be the most healthy thing for you in terms of your mindset. It you can propel yourself into a new sort of it's like leveling up, you know. So like, I reckon I've built like a base strength from doing the sort of going all in and then refine, and then sort of pulling back and not training like that. But I've definitely like leveled up, and so it there is definitely benefits in it if you can do it.
It's like life in general, right? It's like me going to chaotic airports or dealing with issues in previous trips means that when I go to an airport that has a similar situation, I feel like I can just like lean into it and it's completely fine. It's probably the same thing with this sort of thing. You know that you've done it before and you can do it again, and you've got the foundation.
One thing that I was obsessed this, so I've done maybe a couple of challenges within the last 3 years. I've done two where a bunch of mates got together and sort of trained out to this date. And anyway, the first time I did it, and I just refined, like, I had such little carbs and I was so strict, and then I got results. And then the next time I did it, and I did it differently, where I actually had carbs and I got really great results. And so it's like, for me, it was like this moment where I was like, you actually can do it how, like, your body is so unique that it will respond, and you need to work it out, but you're only going to get it by trying it. And so, you know, it's, you can't just say don't eat carbs to people, because carbs are actually good in some respects.
Well, I think that was part of Osh's point in doing it, was showing that you can build lean muscle through a plant-based diet without having meat. So, you know, I get it, but at the same time, like, there's 100 different ways of doing stuff. And I get that there is, when you look, you know, when you look over time, we've lent towards fucking eating eggs and lean meats and shit like that. And this is just another option. So I don't think we need to worry that it's you know, going to move too far the other way.
Well, that's perfect. The Daily Talk Show.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. The Daily Talk Show. Feel free to email us, hi@thedailytalkshow.com. And, we'll see you tomorrow. On Friday, we've got Jules Lund on the show, the founder of Tribe, our mate. And, it'll be good to have him on Friday.
See you guys.
Then. Bye.